Anyway, Coleman Ochter, child and adolescent psychotherapist, is on the line. How are you doing, Coleman?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm getting exercised about alcohol and the role it plays in Irish society, but it's an unpopular thing to talk about. 80% of us drink. I drink myself, but we need. You probably see the effects of drink in your work with children and adolescents, do you?
You would, yeah, and largely even through families.
Yeah,
maybe not the young people themselves.
No, that's what I'm saying. Their parents.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's part of the Irish narrative, isn't it? It's like you said about the dignitary issue. Every occasion seems to circle around alcohol. Even we celebrate lockdowns with alcohol as well. And it's part an unfortunate part of our narrative that it's an incredibly difficult cultural thing to reverse.
Yes.
And despite the best efforts of so many people, it still seems to be dominant, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, the ripple effects of alcohol use, even casual alcohol use, that doesn't necessarily get into the problematic factor, that children pick that up for sure. It's something we've been needing to have a look at for the last decade or more. But unfortunately, we haven't been able to make too many inroads, unfortunately. But should still be staying on the agenda, I think.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely. Okay, so we said you were coming on, so let's get to this. We don't have much time. My daughter, who is 7, is very in tune with her feelings and incredibly sensitive. I know this is very common at her age, but she is getting very upset every night as she contemplates death in a very deep way. She sobs about not wanting me to die, doesn't want to be buried in a grave herself, and doesn't want to die. She asks all the hard questions like, how can you talk in heaven when you wouldn't have a mouth? How can you love when you don't have a heart? Why do we have to die? Why can't we live forever? She becomes so upset and my heart is breaking for her. I've absolutely no answers for her, as I think most likely when we die, that's the end. I don't want to share this view with her. She has never experienced death in her short life, but would regularly talk about my parents who died before she was born. Any advice would be great.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really common one, but it's actually something that's come across my desk a lot more in the last 3 months than ever before. And that's, I'm guessing, because of the daily figures around deaths and coronavirus things, and everyone's become so, I guess, suspicious and paranoid of our own mortality. But children are not immune to that. And so it is a conversation that's being had in households across the country. The tricky part of this is, how do you comfort and care without, I suppose, with falling in line with your own value system? And parents who maybe wouldn't have certain spiritual leanings don't feel comfortable with the heaven dialogue in that sense. And so you're left with a kind of a really difficult dilemma around, I suppose, the truth and the facts versus fear. And for me, it comes down to, I suppose, how married to that ideology you are in terms of for your child. For me, the notion of a supernatural post-life, it is comforting for a child. Even in the idea of fantasy, there's an idea that the afterlife or the supernatural would mean that we can still exist, and the idea that we can still communicate through, albeit prayer or whatever it is, to people who have passed on. There is an immense comfort in that. If you come from that cultural background, if you don't, then is it about when you die, you die? And how do you explain that to someone who's 7? The idea of endings and beginnings and time, they're very skewed concepts for children at that age. So again, I would tend to fudge it, I think, rather than giving the clear answer, because I don't know whether a 7-year-old would even comprehend the finality of what you're trying to explain.
Okay.
But I would keep parking the conversation that this is a long time off and that it's old people generally, that when you're going to be much older, you don't have to worry about it at the moment. And, you know, that nobody here is dying and we're all around you. And, we, you know, there's a kind of a sense of trying to concentrate on the health side of things as opposed to the living pieces rather than the death pieces. But this is a thorny issue, because when you advise people on one or other, you can offend very easily, because there are people have kind of conviction around these belief systems that are pro and against it. Personally, because the heaven narrative is open to me, it makes it easier for me to answer that to my own children. But that's not to say that other people should borrow that, I guess.
Okay. It is a phase, though, because we've spoken about this before, if not with you, with other people. And I've seen it in my own children. And I think you know, it's happening a little bit in our house at the moment. So it is around 7-8 that they start to sort of home in.
4 to 11, right?
Four to 11. Usually, right. So any time between 4 and 11 that they home in on the whole death thing.
Yeah, but children are fascinated by death and endings, and it becomes an intriguing point about when do you die. And like, you'll have children who say, oh, you die when you're 100, or you'll die, you know, and they'll kind of be counting down the years till you'll be 100. And
yes,
we have it at the moment here. I have a 5-year-old who's asked me a lot of the times at the moment about when will he die and when will I die. And again, it's part and parcel. It's almost like a rite of passage, almost, to try and come to terms with loss. And if you think about it, there's lots of fudged ideologies around even fairy tales, like the princess who's sleeping, who needs a kiss to be woken from the dead, you know.
Yes,
the issues around, and all the fairy tales, they all have this one thing in common, is that there's no parents involved, which allows the child to kind of process the idea that I can survive even if the most significant loss happens to me.
Okay.
Even the meekest can survive without parents. Yes. If you think about the Hansel and Gretel's, Cinderella's, all those classics have a lack of parentage, so the child takes something from that.
Your advice is just fudge it, in that you say it's a long way away. You'll live till, this is what we say, you live till you're 107 or whatever, and it's a long way away, and blah blah blah, and then try and change the subject.
I don't think it's about changing the subject. I mean, I think there's an inevitability to it, but it's not something that they need to worry about at seven. Do you know what I mean? And you don't need to burden them with the graphics or the details of that. And I think, I mean, in an actual loss, as I said, the heaven narrative is very convenient for children to come to terms with the loss of an aunt or a cousin or a grandparent or whatever the case may be. And so if it's real and present in their lives, then the conversation is going to be much more pressing. But if it's just something that they're kind of wondering about, that's something in the future, then I think at seven, I would tend to... I would concentrate on their living aspects and all the healthy parts of them, rather than concentrating on the death piece. Because if you have an ideology that it's over, and you don't want to part from that, you're kind of stuck for explanations. And I just think that's...
Well, you're not really. I'll have to differ. Anyway, that's another day's debate between you and me. We won't get into it now. But I suppose the consoling thing for this person as well is that it's very common. In fact, it's universal.
Absolutely.
What her 7-year-old daughter's going through.
9 times out of 10, these children pass through this phase very quickly.
Yes.
And, you know, they come to terms with it. It is a very natural developmental thing about presence and absence and loss. And children are struggling with that right through their childhood. So this is just a dimension of it. And once managed kind of containedly, it'll be fine.
Okay. Coleman, thank you very much. We'll talk to you soon. And if you have any questions for Coleman that we can put on file, ray@rte.ie. Thanks, Coleman. Thank you.